We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Look at Solana with the bounce back update. You like that? Bounce back update. Guy got rocked in the first inning, came back for a scoreless second, third, and fourth. Way to go, buddy.
Proud of you.
5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It's the Funky Buddha happy hour. Earlier in the show, if you were listening, around 2:45, we played Cheers 2, had a lucky winner. Go home with $50 at Funky Buddha Tap Room.
That's a good time. Hit me with a DM when you make that trip.
All because of Marlon Shirley.
He lost his foot.
I wonder if Marlon Shirley's on Twitter. Hold on.
Don't mess with that, man.
Public.
Bro, he's had a tough life, man. Leave him alone.
If he is, should we try to get him on?
I'm starting to think so.
You think he'd find that funny if we played that for him?
I don't know. Look at that.
No, man, no. I'm out.
He's on Twitter.
I'm out.
Marlon Shirley, multi-gold medalist Paralympics, former world record in the 100, 200, long jump, high jump, and he's a motivational speaker. I bet he'd be a good radio guest. Solana, Marlon Shirley is your holy grail.
You sure about that?
Yes. Yes. Do like a little research just to see if he seems very sensitive.
How do you do that?
And then you got to do a pre-interview, and you just got to let him know that, you know, here's what happened. Now, he hasn't tweeted since 2017, so you may have to find a different vehicle to...
How do you figure out if somebody's sensitive? A list of questions to ask. Like, how do you find that out?
Marlon Shirley. That would be appointment listening.
No, it wouldn't.
That would be appointment listening.
I have a list of questions. That's what I do.
So today is a holiday. Today is the shot day. Everybody do shots.
I like that part of the shot day.
Today is the day Ray Allen hit the shot and salvaged the Big Three era.
Yeah.
No joke. We talked with Will Mansell at 4 o'clock. Salvaged the Big Three era. The Big Three era was 5 seconds from being over. It was going to be a failed experiment.
Because it would have just been one ring, right?
It would have just been one ring, but that was what?
That was the third year.
That was the third year, Solana, right? Yeah.
Third year.
Yeah.
So it would have been one out of three. After, you know, LeBron, not one, not two, not three, like, that would have been it. That would have been it, because if you go three seasons with one championship, it would have been a failure.
You know what? What if they would have blown it up? Maybe they could have won that next year. That's kind of positive.
But. I think they would have blown it up in a fashion where they would have said, I think it would have changed a lot in basketball. I think the notion would have been, you can't put superstars together. Would have changed everything. Like, that era, and again, I know Boston did it, but that era kind of cemented superstars get together with your friends,
yes,
make super teams. And I think had they gone one out of three, that whole notion would have been, nah, find teams. Build teams from the core.
Like old school way.
Mm-hmm.
But built, not bought, was one of the things everybody said.
Yeah.
I never even thought about it.
I think
from
it would
there.
Have changed everything.
Because, like you say, you go back to, was that Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce? Was that the start of the super team? Because I feel as if, and I don't know, we're in Miami, so is that homerish to say, I really feel like Wade, LeBron, and Bosh jumped off their super team?
I think it was more of a super team than anything that had been put together before.
Yeah, but it was different because they didn't like get together and say, we're going to this team to play together. Those were just front office acquisitions. They traded for KG. They traded for Ray Allen. So it was different.
Right. Yeah, no, I get you. It was more athletes taking control of their own destiny and saying, hey, we're going to do this together. We know this is going
to
work.
So if Ray doesn't hit that shot, organizations might have to go back and be like, hey, guys, we can't trust these guys to make their little super teams out of friends.
And I think agents and players come to the realization, you know what? This is better left to the experts. They'll let us know where. Like, I think it changes a lot.
It's not crazy either. Because that was an experiment, because the story was that they were in the Olympics the couple years before and said, hey, we're all up the same year. Let's go to Miami to play all together. Okay, let's do it. And Pat made it happen. He worked the numbers out, but those players decided they were
going to
play together.
Yes, they were going to play together.
That is very interesting.
So here it is. Here's the Ray Allen shot that changed everything and gave us so many years now of thinking about it. So this the first call we're going to play for you is the radio call. Mike Inglis on the Miami Heat Radio Network. I absolutely love this call. This will give you chills.
So Miami needs a good three. They've got time to set it up. Chalmers, left side, Real. LeBron for three. James misses. Rebound, Bosch. Back to Allen, the long shot. Allen from downtown with 5.2 left. Take those yellow ropes back inside.
Were you there, Solana? You're a season ticket holder.
Yeah, I was.
Is that your greatest sports memory?
Yeah. Like, I sometimes try to think about something better. Maybe, like, you can throw Dwayne Wade jumping on the scores table for
great
the
moment,
first time.
Yeah.
But that's got to be, especially because everybody left around me. Section 115, my entire row's empty. My brother turned to me and said, let's get the bleep out of here. Like, he walked away. He walked outside of the concourse.
People had left.
Sitting there by myself.
That's crazy. Because I'm telling you, wide right two for me. It's that's the one moment where I can remember just being in a stadium. I remember I was at the White Sox when the White Sox clinched the playoffs in 1983. My dad took me to Comiskey Park that day. I remember that. We ran out on the field. That was fun. Nothing like wide right two. And I imagine that Ray Allen three for a lot of people in South Florida is the greatest sports memory that you could ever remember. That was something, man.
It's mine. Because I can't think of anything else.
Do you remember what you were doing? Do you remember where you were watching it?
No.
I remember being, it was what, 6 years ago?
6 years ago.
6 years ago. So my kid was 9 years old. So he was sleeping. I remember it was late. He was sleeping. He was a Heat fan. He was trying to stay up, but he was in his bed sleeping. My wife and I were watching in our bed. And I remember just screaming. I just started screaming because I couldn't believe that he made the shot. I couldn't believe that they weren't going to lose.
Yep.
Here's the television call. This is Mike Breen. This is a famous highlight in South Florida because of the bang.
James catches, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound, Bosch. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Oh, my God. I got the chills again.
Bang!
It's crazy. And then when we originally started celebrating this day, Eric Valero was our producer, and I had said to him, hey, do you think you can get the Spanish language call on that? It's always exciting. We like playing the calls, the away calls, the home calls, Spanish calls. And he thought he was going to be slick. He couldn't find the Spanish language call, so he goes to himself, I'm going to go into the production studio, and I'm just going to record the exact thing that Mike Breen did, but I'll do it in Spanish. Hawk and Crowder will never know. And the moment he started playing this for us, we stared at each other like, what the hell am I listening to? And he also translated bang to explosión. Here is Falero's Spanish version.
Deberían los Spurs foul. Debería ir Miami por los tres ahora mismo. James capturas, pones los tres. No eat. Rebote Bosch. Volver a Allen. Su triplete. ¡Explosión! Juego de empate con 5 segundos restantes.
So ridiculous.
I love it.
We were doing earlier Mount Rushmore of like South Florida sports moments that took place, you know, between the whistles, as you said.
Yes, between the whistles.
Do you have the Dwayne Wade game winner from this season, Solana, against Golden State? This was probably the most monumental moment of this Miami Heat season.
Easy.
Dwayne Wade hits the game winner. This is the is this the radio call from the Miami Heat Radio Network?
This is Sun Sports TV call.
Sun Sports TV. This is how it sounded on local television.
Heat need a three to win. 10 seconds left. Wade against Iguodala. 5 seconds left. Waiters back to Dwayne. Shoots. No, he couldn't get it off. Now fires it up. Bank it in. It counts. It counts. The Heat win the game. Dwayne Wade won it for Miami. 126 to 125. It just happened.
That was amazing.
It was.
He wasn't going to get a shot off. You remember? Ball came right back into his hands. And everyone, I think everyone thought the same thing. Oh, my God, they're not even getting a shot off.
It was an accident.
It was an accident.
It was.
What do you have on that next?
The Spanish call?
The Spanish call? Okay, let's hear that.
Por dos a los Warriors, 12 segundos por jugar, cruza la media cancha, Wade para, amaga, tiro de tres, da una media vuelta, otra media vuelta, pierde control del balón, recupera, arriba Waiters, Waiters se busca, arriba Wade con un segundo, Wade le tapa, lanza de nuevo, Wade el tiro a tiempo, exacta, contra el tablero y anota, y gana el Miami Heat, la desviaron, agarra Wade, dispara y exacta, locura. Locura aquí en América, Sevilla, Wade dando vueltas.
That's awesome. That is awesome. What else do you have on that one? You have the radio call from Mike Inglis on this one?
I don't think I have that.
All right, we don't have one. That's fine. Let me hear a couple other things here. Just talking about great moments in Miami sports history. Ray Allen is in the argument for top.
Yes.
Like,
for sure.
In the argument. You have the Marino fake spike. See, I this probably, the call is not going to be as great as those because they're not as exciting, but this was a monumental sports moment. This was against the Jets. And they won the game because of it.
Yes.
Right? He gets to the line. He pretends like he's going to clock the ball. He doesn't. Throws a touchdown in the end zone. Now that gets done every now and then.
Oh, yeah. But they always reference back to Dan Marino.
You have what on that? The television call on that?
TV call.
All right. Let's hear that.
Marino's trying to get everybody on the line of scrimmage. Now, he still has one timeout. They'll save that for the field goal. If they have to.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
You know what the Jets were thinking? He's going to take the ball and throw it into the ground.
They
didn't
stopped.
Do it. They all stopped. If you take a look at it, the offensive linemen, all they did was stand up. And Marino says to Ingram, I mean, that's the communication that they have. We saw fire on the two-point conversion. Tell Marino from the back of his hand, hey, throw the ball to me. Now here's Ingram for his fourth touchdown. They just, I mean, this is a beautiful play. They catch the Jets napping. They're just standing there.
They froze, it appeared, that Marino was going to try and stop the clock. Instead, he connected for the fourth time with Mark Ingram. And the Dolphins have a 27-24 lead with only 22 seconds remaining.
I love that. I think that is so cool.
What does, because I wasn't down here, what does hearing Dan Marino's name called in the game do to Dolphin fans? how does it, because I don't know.
Yeah, that's like the hottest girl you ever dated popping up on Facebook. And
really? Cause it's just,
and she's modeling negligees.
Because I knew he was great, but I never was down here to see Marino.
Man.
So,
what about the what about the miracle in Miami? This is very recent. It was last season. This is the win over New England. The hook and ladder, essentially, right? It was. Yeah. It wasn't exactly that because it was really just pitchbacks, but here's how it sounded.
Tannehill. Last shot, back to throw.
Out of energy.
They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it, and it's Drake. Drake, 30, 20. Gronkowski's got a tackle.
Oh, no way.
He got it in the end zone.
No way.
Touchdown.
The Dolphins win it.
Unbelievable. Are you kidding me?
Jimmy Cephalo ruins everything.
What I just saw.
That's just awful. I mean,
wait a minute, getting one more time.
He sounds like he's doing the show in molasses. Sounds like Droopy Dog, the old cartoon. Play the beginning of that again.
Tannehill, last shot, back to throw.
You know what that is? It's the guy at the bar. The guy at the bar. Nothing has gone right in his life. Yeah. I had another argument with my boss. That's crazy how dejected and slow he sounds.
He got going, man.
Well, Today is Ray Allen, the shot day. We're going to bring on Brian Geltzeiler in the next segment. We love Geltzy. He's the hoops critic. You hear him on Sirius XM and you see him on NBA TV. So I want to ask him, just as an outsider, the Ray Allen shot, what he remembers of it. And I do want to talk some NBA with him because I want to get his opinion on the Anthony Davis trade, what that means for the Lakers and the West and the NBA, I guess. So we'll talk some NBA with Geltzeiler next. Radio.com. Radio.com. It's a holiday. Holiday in South Florida.
You can't say that.
I'm calling it a holiday. Brian Geltzeiler will agree with me. Today is the 6-year anniversary of the Ray Allen shot. In fact, can you play the radio call one more time? The Mike Inglis radio call from the Miami Heat Radio Network. This, to me, is the one that gives you just the chills up and down your arms.
So Miami needs a good three. They've got time to set it up. Chalmers, left side, Real. LeBron for three. James misses. Rebound Bosch. Back to Allen, the long shot. Allen from downtown with 5.2 left. Take those yellow ropes back inside.
Take those yellow ropes back inside. All right. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Brian Geltzeiler, radio host on Sirius XM NBA Radio. You see him on NBA TV. You can follow him on Twitter at Hoops Critic. He is with us. Hello, Geltzy.
Hello, boys. How we doing?
I mean, it's the anniversary of one of the greatest moments in South Florida sports history. And as an outsider, a non-Heat fan, a non-South Floridian, do you remember that shot the way we do?
I certainly do. I certainly do.
I mean, they had the yellow rope coming out, Geltzeiler.
Yes, they did. They were all ready to go. And I'll tell you, it's funny because you look back on that shot. It's probably the most significant offensive rebound in the history of the sport by Chris Bosh. The other interesting thing regarding that is that the shot LeBron missed for that offensive rebound, did you see who was contesting him on that shot?
No, I'd have to go back and look. Who
Tony
was it?
It's wild. Tony Parker.
He's on LeBron.
Got switched on LeBron to contest LeBron. When Bosh rebounds the ball and it gets kicked out to Ray Allen, do you know who's contesting Ray Allen?
I don't.
Tony Parker went. Kawhi Leonard was slow getting out after the rebound. When he didn't get the rebound, he froze for a minute. And Parker made his way from one side of the court to the other, and he was the one contesting the Allen three. Just a little kind of nuance regarding that. And, of course, you know, the thing that everybody talks about all the time, and it should be talked about because when we'll talk about Greg Popovich and five rings and one of the best coaches in the history of all sports, part of Greg Popovich's legacy is the most significant offensive rebound in the history of the sport was when he had his top 10 all-time player, Hall of Famer, and five-time champion sitting on the bench for that possession because he wanted his team to be more switchable on the perimeter.
Yeah, it's funny. Obviously, that's been talked about in South Florida forever, but I would imagine in San Antonio, that's been, you know, probably still a topic of discussion. No matter how great Greg Popovich is and what a Hall of Famer he is, it was a blunder.
Oh, it was a huge blunder. But they don't talk about it a ton in San Antonio, Hawk. You would think they talk about it more. All they want to talk about is how Kawhi Leonard quit on them last year. That's what they want to talk about. And they're willing. The thing about Greg Popovich in San Antonio is he walks on water. There is not going to be any kind of situation whatsoever where he gets any kind of criticism there. Because even this Kawhi Leonard situation, which if we're being frank about it, is maybe to me the greatest humiliation in the history of the San Antonio Spurs, that they essentially mistreated a superstar player, shoved him out the door, and then they tried to send him to what they deemed to be an NBA outpost as a form of punishment. And he took the location in the NBA outpost and went ahead and spun it into a championship. It's the most humiliating It's the most humiliating chapter in the San Antonio Spurs' entire history, and they still want to call Leonard a quitter, and they still want to whitewash Popovich.
It's absolutely amazing. It's pretty amazing with the coaches, because we've had this conversation down here, because we were talking about, you know, Ray Allen, the shot, and it being one of the Mount Rushmore plays on the field, and we were talking about last season, the miracle in Miami, if you remember, the Dolphins on, you know, the kickoff at the end of the, or no, it wasn't kickoff, it was just the last Hail Mary or whatever, but the hook and lateral, Tannehill throws it to, I think, Devontae Parker, who laterals it to Kenyon Drake, but Bill Belichick had Rob Gronkowski out on the field, who had no business being there as a defender, and Bill Belichick himself had called that bad defense, and then the Super Bowl before, Bill Belichick had held out, who was it, Malcolm Butler?
Yes, the best Malcolm corner Butler, on the team.
But he gets a pass, and then, you know, you really want to bring it basketball and local here. Pat Riley, who put together the Big Three, also may have been part of the reason that the Big Three broke up, right? Because LeBron wanted to go elsewhere. Pat Riley was not willing to cede to whatever LeBron's demands were. And then Pat Riley got the Heat locked into a bunch of contracts. But he's pretty infallible down here.
Yeah, well, I will say this. The one thing that I'll tell you regarding LeBron leaving down there, and where I think that maybe Pat Riley gets a little bit of a bad rap, is, you know, the whole, and I know people go crazy about this because they think too much is made of it, but to my understanding, you can never make too much of it. Amnestying Mike Miller to save luxury tax money was the worst possible message that the Arisons could have sent LeBron James. And that still exists as the thing that made him start to think, do I want to be here long-term anymore? Because his understanding that he was coming there to an ownership group that was willing to spend whatever it took to spend. So in terms of certain things that happened in Cleveland regarding him pushing Dan Gilbert to spend money, that was all is a reaction to the fact that he was rendered powerless in Miami by this Mike Miller amnesty. He was a player who hit big shots for them, a guy he felt they could have used. And let's face it, after they amnestied Mike Miller, they didn't win another title. So I think that, to me, it's the Arisons pulling back on the spending, I think, that drove him out the door more than anything else.
And with this, you bring up Pat. With this Heat rebuild, do you trust Pat to get this team back on top?
You know, Chance, it's a great question. The problem I have with Pat Riley right now is the same problem I have with Greg Popovich right now. Like, sometimes a slow build is what you need to do. They're not interested in having slow builds because of their own biological clocks. These guys want to be, you know, one more time in the sun and get it done with. So they're both trying to spin this thing fast. Let's be honest about Pop. Truth of the matter is, the best job to do with Kawhi Leonard was to trade him for a future asset type of package, do the same thing with LaMarcus Aldridge, and just start over. Greg Popovich doesn't want to do that. Same thing with Pat Riley. Pat Riley, at this stage of the game with all these bad contracts, you are stuck in the middle. You're stuck in NBA purgatory. And yes, you have some very good young players, and a couple of them signed to reasonable contracts on Winslow and Richardson, and Adebayo's obviously a good young player, and you're going to have another lottery pick here. So there's stuff that you certainly can step out and do here to make this team better in the short term, but they're stuck with all these bad contracts. And starting to kind of turn this thing over to young guys and maybe being bad for a couple of years may be the best thing, but I'm not hearing that. I'm here and they're going to be a bidder on Mike Conley. You know what I mean? Like, they want to get involved in every star player they can try to get their hands on and see if they just turn this thing around quick. And I do think some of it is pie in the sky type of stuff, that they're really shooting for the moon when there's no way in hell they're going to reach it.
Brian Geltzeiler is with us, radio host on SiriusXM NBA Radio and a frequent guest on NBA TV. Let's talk about the Anthony Davis trade here, because that's the pressing news in the NBA arena. Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers, and the Lakers are now immediately what in your mind?
One of the top teams in the West. So that's immediately. They were talking about immediately in the short term. That's what they are. They have two stars here right now. They were able to keep Kuzma. They'll be able to fill some pieces in around these guys. They're going to be an excellent team. There's no doubt. Are they the best team in the league? I don't know about that. They could be. I'm not sure that they are, but they're going to be one of the best teams in the West. That's what it does for them. What it also does for them is shoots them in the foot to have any ability of a future beyond what they're doing with this group right now. Because what they've done with their draft considerations and their assets over the course of the next 5 years has trapped them into being a team that can only go out and sign free agents. They have nothing else in them. And the thing that scares you for them regarding that is that they don't have the cachet out there for free agents that they once did. And the only ones that don't realize this are the Lakers, are Jeannie Buss and whoever else she has advising her and Rob Pelinka. They think they still have this Laker mystique that free agents are just going to flock there. It's not going to happen. It's the perception's bad there. So, yes, they have LeBron and Anthony Davis. They kept Kuzma. They'll be a very good basketball team, assuming they stay healthy. They'll fill in with some pieces around them. But this is not their future right now. So if they don't get a title in the next 2 years, this whole LeBron era for them was a big waste that ended up kicking the can down the road in a rebuild that should have happened a long time ago.
And to the point, like, because I don't give – I saw an article today, Gelty, that they were talking about Rob Pelinka, figured it out. I put it all on Clutch Sports. Rich Paul, AD signed with Clutch Sports. LeBron's there. Like, I give Rich Paul and LeBron more credit for signing AD. But I wanted to ask you, LeBron did it down here. He did it in Cleveland. When LeBron figures out a star he wants to play with and brings him in, and now it's up to Rob Pelinka to add those pieces around you're talking about, that doesn't that seem like it's going to be a failure?
Channing, I think it's set up for that. But I also think we have to understand that I think that at this stage, what happened with the Lakers was it was a power vacuum. Channing, to put in a football analogy that you'll relate to, what do they say when you have, you know, two potential starting quarterbacks? You have none.
Yeah.
Like you need one guy to be able to do that with. The Lakers had a power vacuum in their front office in the absence of Magic. Jeannie, on one decision, she's listening to one person. On another decision, she's listening to another person. And what really happened here regarding these AD talks is that Rich Paul and LeBron seized that power vacuum and took over. So I think they're going to have a lot to say over who comes there. The problem is they have pie-in-the-sky types of aspirations here that I don't think they're going to get to either. I mean, they got Damon Jones this morning on ESPN leaking that Kawhi is going to go to the Lakers. Kawhi doesn't want to be a part of the Lakers, and he's going to have to take less than max money. And he's talking about they have to shed some salaries so they can give him max money. What salary are they shedding? They got nothing to shed anymore. Like, it's silliness and craziness there that happens. But I do think it's, you know, so much of what's happening in the Laker front office is going to be directed by Rich Paul and LeBron right now. They've seized control there. And listen, I don't know if it's the worst thing in the world because I'm not sure the alternatives were any better, guys.
No, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. I think LeBron, and again, you can debate all you want whether he's too involved, not involved. He was too quiet last season, and they wasted, like you said, a season with LeBron as his clock is winding down, and you cannot afford to do that. And so if they need to seize control, I think that there's – see, I think that it doesn't matter who they put around LeBron and Anthony Davis. I mean, they put Kawhi there. They won't lose a game. But I don't think it really matters. I think with Kuzma out there, I think this team is like, who in the West? Like, you don't know what Kawhi is going to do, first of all, right? We don't know where Kawhi is going to end up, or you think he's going to go to the Clippers?
He's going to go to the Clippers. I still think he's going to go to the Clippers.
What about Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant, I think, is going to be with right now for Kevin Durant, it's still up in the air, you know, and it's day to day. So, like, somebody told me yesterday that the talk is now, and what you're hearing from people close to him is that he's leaning towards staying with the Warriors. Then I had somebody tell me this morning who is, you know, in with Roc Nation pretty good, that there's a belief that Durant's coming with Kyrie to the Nets. The Knicks still think they're in the mix for him. So for Durant, all of this is up in the air. Whoever's getting him is getting him in a red shirt year. Now, I want to jump back to your point regarding LeBron and Rich Paul and that being good. I think in this scenario it is good, but I don't blame them for not doing it last year. LeBron came there under the premise he was supposed to trust Magic Johnson, right?
Right.
And that's what he did. And I don't blame him for doing it. That was the deal coming in. You trust Magic Johnson, Magic's going to do the job. They came in and took control a little bit here because Magic's not there anymore to trust. And they saw a rudderless ship. So I don't know that it's the best thing that LeBron and Rich Paul control everything, any spot they're ever in. But in this particular situation, it's the best scenario that the Lakers have, certainly the best option for them.
And Gelty, on the other side of that trade, now just looking at the Pelicans roster right now, Drew Holiday's locked in. They get Lonzo Ball. They get Brandon Ingram. They get Josh Hart. They got Zion first pick. And whoever they take at the fourth overall, what's that team going to look like? Where are they going to fit in?
Channing, it all depends what they do with four on Thursday night. There's so much talk that they're going to try to make a deal involving four and potentially Lonzo Ball for a big-time player somewhere, somebody that they can come in and step in and make them a playoff-caliber team immediately. The thing about getting Zion Williamson is I don't think David Griffin wants to do a slow build. I think he wants to see if he can compete immediately. They're not trading Drew Holiday. He is staying there. And keep in mind, he's 29 years old. So, I mean, they're keeping him on board there because they think they can be good soon. So to take a guy like a Darius Garland at four doesn't make a mountain of sense for them. If they keep four, it'll probably be DeAndre Hunter or Jarrett Culver. It'll probably be a guy that can come in and contribute immediately. But it's tough to know. Like, listen, I don't know that Washington's going to do anything major without, you know, a permanent guy in place. And if Masai Ujiri does take that job in the next couple of days, he won't have had a chance to do due diligence. So I don't know that Bradley Beal is the guy. But you know, Griff's out there looking for somebody using that four pick to see what he can do. So until we know what he's going to do in terms of whether he's trading or drafting with that four pick, I think it's tough to tell where the Pelicans are going to be. If he drafts with it, I don't know that they'll be a playoff team, but they'll be moving in the right direction with an excellent young core. But again, keep one thing in mind about the Pelicans. Over the course of the last couple of years, the one thing they've been short on are these long wings that everybody's winning in the playoffs with. There's a handful of these guys, you know, after three in this draft that are available with names like two guys I mentioned, Culver and Hunter, and also Cam Reddish. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them go in that direction and kind of see, you know, again, and next year would be maybe a better year than this year, but not quite the playoffs, but they'd be building towards that.
And we're out in Houston. Chris Paul is telling Harden to pass the ball. Harden's telling Chris Paul to shut up. You can't score any points off the dribble anyway. What's going on in Houston, man? Is that just off-season hoopla, or is something really going to happen?
No, so, well, something's going on. The question becomes, does something happen? Because up till the fact that the Warriors suffered those two devastating injuries, the thought process in Houston was, we have to find a taker for Chris Paul. Even if that taker for Chris Paul is not going to give us anything meaningful back for him, we got to get him off this roster. Because here's the guy to remember about Houston. Tillman Fertitta, no matter what he professes, he ain't paying luxury tax. He's in over his head financially with this team, with that new Post Oak Hotel. He owes everybody around town their money. He doesn't want to get in a luxury tax situation. He can't do it. Chris Paul's $40 million is keeping them from being able to do something to improve this roster. And that's a big problem. But I will also say this, with Durant and Clay going down, and with the fact that the Warriors are probably not going to be the Warriors next year, there is a school of thought that it makes sense for Houston to have everybody hold hands, sing kumbaya, and make friends again, and let's come back with the same group because we can be the best team in the West. So I think there's something to be said there. If you would ask me before these injuries happened, if Chris Paul would be there next year, I would have said absolutely not. They would find somebody to take him. Now, at this point, I think actually that you might see Chris Paul back there, and they'll try to see if they can mend fences and run this thing back.
Brian Geltzeiler, you hear him on SiriusXM NBA Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at HoopsCritic. We appreciate you making time for us on The Shot Day.
Always my pleasure, guys. Enjoy your holiday.
Let's all go do a shot, Geltzy.
Oh, I did plenty of those. Don't worry. Not today, but yesterday.
All right, fair enough. See you, Geltzy. Brian Geltzeiler there from SiriusXM. Radio.com. Radio.com. 5 o'clock hour, Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha Happy Hour.
So good.
A lot of rain out there. Please drive safely. There's a lot of rain out there.
No hazard lights. That's all I got to warn my people.
Chris Paul has what? He has refuted the report that we read earlier on this show from Yahoo Sports?
He has taken to IG and refuted, and he says that beef between him and Harden and a trade that he's demanded is news to him.
You know people lie.
Yeah, I mean, you could see him asking for a trade because you could see that that would be a frustrating way to play basketball. Although there is a tweet that I saw during the commercial break there. Chris Paul's salary the next three seasons, $38.5 million, $41.3 million, $44.2 million. Mm. And it's followed with, he's not getting traded or turning down the option. So good luck, Houston Rockets. Like, he's got to figure out a way to work it out with James Harden. You can't trade. Would you trade for him with that salary?
No.
Because he's a great basketball player. But would you eat 38, 41, 44 over the next three seasons?
He's 34 years old, by the way.
So when he's 37 years old, he's going to be getting $44 million?
Terrible contract they signed with him, and nobody's going to pick it up.
And he ain't opting out.
So, but what happens?
He's got to learn to coexist with James Harden. And maybe, maybe the way to do that is to leak to the media or have your sources leak to the media that he's unhappy, hoping that it, what, makes James Harden a little more aware that maybe his style of basketball isn't perfectly suited for Chris Paul and he needs to figure out a way.
But it's you know, it's like we talk about Chris Bosh getting frustrated and now saying, hey, I need to take the lead, LeBron back up. James Harden is by far a better basketball player
than
Chris Paul.
Right, you have to know your role. You have to know Chris Bosh knew his role when he signed on. He was a great soldier the entire time.
And Chris Paul was a great soldier until they started getting beat by Golden State Warriors year after year.
Right.
Now he's like, hey, this isn't working.
Right.
But what can – Chris Paul had to change his game
and
to
be
play
quite
with
honest,
James.
To be quite honest, you wonder, Chris Bosh, had they not had that amazing shot by Ray Allen on this day – and they had won one championship out of three seasons, you wonder if Chris Bosh may have said, hey, guys, like, I put up some pretty good numbers in Toronto, led them to the playoffs every year. I'm a little too auxiliary here.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and things change when there is no success.
It's a great point. And with Chris Paul, he has an argument to say, James, you're shooting, you're dropping 50 every other night. You're amazing on that ISO ball. Your little kick, double, triple kickback, slide, travel thing you do, it gets you open. We have zero rings playing this style of basketball. Chris Paul knows, hey, let's do a little more. But do you take the ball out of James Harden's hands? Because if James Harden doesn't have the ball, he is not anywhere close to the player he is with the ball in his hand.
Oh, absolutely not. We know defensively he's a liability.
So now what does James do when Chris is running the offense? He's a spot-up shooter?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so James, they have to – it's all on Chris Paul to figure out a way – or, you know what? Hell would figure out a way to play with James Harden. Chris, get your
– shut up and play with James Harden.
So 3 years, you said 40, 45, and 38 or something. So 120,000 or something.
Just shut up, take your money.
Shut up and take your money. If he wants you to stand on the other side of the court, go over there and pull your defender out so he can get his one-on-one.
In that same line of thinking, by the way, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press tweeted about 35, 40 minutes ago, there is a growing belief that when Hassan Whiteside picks up his Heat option for next season, he will do so while asking for a trade.
Oh, yes.
And then he writes parenthetically, also, I don't think this should surprise anyone. It's no secret that he wants a different role. So that would be Hassan Whiteside and his team saying to the Heat, obviously, we're not going to turn down this money, but we would prefer that you trade us. And maybe Hassan Whiteside, now a willing participant in a trade, would be amenable to finding a team saying, yes, I will sign a new deal with so-and-so, making it easier on the Heat. Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald, he retweets what Tim Reynolds said about Hassan there and said, Heat has tried to trade him for over a year. Even with expiring contract, it will be difficult unless Heat is willing to take a player whose contract runs past this coming season. Whiteside is the unusual case, at least here, of Riley thinking a lot more of a player than his coaching staff does, a situation they should obviously try to avoid moving forward. So now the question is, okay, there's a team that'll take Hassan Whiteside, take his $27 million off the books for next season. You've only got him for one more season. But in return, you've got to take someone with a bad contract for the next two seasons or three seasons. Would you do it?
Is it not a seven-footer?
There's not a lot of those with that contract that are his level of play.
Is it a Mike Conley? Because I say yes. Or Jimmy Butler? I'll say yes. Like, if I, you can
like
give me
that type.
You can give me a shoe. You can give me a modern age basketball
somebody
player.
who can play in today's NBA.
And I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take a great shooting guard, point guard, somebody. Yeah, we just lost Wade. Go get you a shooting guard that can show out. You're not winning a title. We know that. They have a couple more years left under all those bad contracts we signed right after the Heat, you know, broke up. But go get something exciting. I'm not going to lie. Hassan Whiteside's double-doubles everybody wants to talk about, they're not exciting at all.
But when he does it with blocks.
Well, Crowder,
done that
I
two
will,
or three times.
Oh, here comes.
I will say, Channing, that
Can we come up with a name for this character? This obnoxious, speaking loud and with authority, heat guy.
Well, you know, you're talking about getting somebody exciting, and well, there's four guys on this team.
The same four guys that he's been talking about. That's the default. That's your default. The same. So who are the four guys? It's Justice.
Justice is better.
Josh.
We know Winslow. Justice.
We
better.
Got you. Heat
great
Twitter.
Nickname.
Josh
Excellent
Richardson.
Nickname. Jay Rich. I understand.
Who's
he
the
hasn't
third?
Taken the next
Who's
step.
The third? Bam. I'm guessing.
We've got Bam, Slam, Wham, Adebayo.
Got you. And then who's the fourth?
Airplane mode.
Ah,
it's
yes.
not just an excellent mode on your
I didn't even know Derek Jones Jr. was called airplane mode.
Airplane mode.
Yeah, I actually thought he was talking about my phone yesterday. I guess that's on me. I guess that's on me, right?
Those four guys are going to get right now. That's what you're telling me, Solana?
Well, no, those four guys.
Why is he doing the voice? Why is it the overly rambunctious Heat fan? Well, you know.
Riley may have dished out a couple contracts that are questionable now that we use hindsight bias, right? All Heat fans now calling Pat washed. Well, let me tell you, Heat Nation. We have four very young guys. A
we
nice
heard
young
this just 9 seconds ago. We heard that. The four guys, we got you. Jay Rich, Josh, Bam, Airplane Mode.
Airplane Mode.
Jumps out the building, Hawk.
Yeah. No. Greg Likens is coming up at 6 o'clock. I'm going to go see a movie tonight because I'm off tomorrow, and it's going to be in focus. I've had this issue with movies lately.
No. It was you.
And I've shared it on the air. Godzilla, I thought there was a soft focus issue. I've talked with the movie company. I got free tickets. I saw Avengers again, same problem. It was slightly out of focus.
Your TV at home?
TV at home. I went from DirecTV to Comcast, back to DirecTV. This is all over the course of the last couple of months.
And you blame that on your TV being too big.
And
this weekend, yo ass.
Yeah, this weekend I got glasses and everything is in focus, surprisingly. So I'm excited to see a movie that's finally not in soft focus.
You going to go apologize to the movie theater?
No, sir.
Okay.
Going to use my free tickets.
Come on.
I'm complaining about the soft focus on Godzilla.
I'm going to try that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It works.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Got to do it with no shame. Said to my wife the other day, does this creamer taste a little off to you? There's got to be an 800 number on this bottle somewhere.
Nets. Store credit. You want a store credit?
Brian Geltzeiler was excellent. Will Manso was on with us to celebrate the shot day. Shot. Ray Allen shot. Both those interviews will be posted at WQAM.com upon completion of the program, which is right about now. Greg Likens. Is Greg Likens up next?
He is.
And I think he's filling in for me tomorrow, right?
GL is on now, and he'll be on tomorrow as well.
There you go.
GL.
Greg Likens.
Terrible.
It's coming up next at 6 o'clock, and he will be filling in for me tomorrow. I'm taking the day off, and then I'll be back, and I will speak with you lunes, martes, miércoles. El jueves.
Man, that ain't no ambulancia. Oh, ambulancia is almost aquí.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.